Gerald has selected Matthew 18, 1 through 5, and 19, 13 through 15, if you'd like to read along with us. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Then little children were brought to him in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And he laid his hands on them and went on his way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to move a little closer to you at home. This is a good spot. Appreciate Chris Kimmons. He's doing the video today, and of course Phil is doing the sound, and I appreciate everybody so much, all the contributions to this service, and also for all the prayers. Received so many comments of just how much people appreciate this service and being able to worship online. And so we just thank you very much for your encouragement as we seek to continue to be the church together. Most of you know that we have been in a season. This is a Lenten sermon series. Lent is the 40 days leading up to Easter, and as a church, we have been working through the Gospel of Matthew. We've been looking at the life of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, four chapters at a time, and so today we are looking at chapter 17 through 20. Chapter 17, if you take a look at that, that is the event that we call the Transfiguration. And that is when Jesus took a couple of his closest disciples and went up a mountain and prayed. And in that moment, God revealed the glory of Jesus to the disciples. And so it was a important and spiritual moment. And in the Gospel of Matthew, it is a turning point in our story. Because after this, after the Transfiguration, from that point on, Jesus is headed directly to Jerusalem, where ultimately we know he gives up his life on the cross. And so next week will be Palm Sunday, and as you read that section of Scripture, the four chapters, it will begin with Palm Sunday, with Jesus walking in down the Mount of Olives and into Jerusalem. I want to focus on several things in our passage today of the four chapters. And Judy read the two passages, and it's very interesting to me that right at this section of Scripture, when Jesus is about to go and give up his life, there are two incidents that involve children. And Jesus uses these two separate instances to really speak a lot about why he was here, why Jesus came, and what he was doing. Throughout this series, we've talked about how Jesus primarily was talking about the language he used was the kingdom of heaven. So he was explaining that he was bringing something new and that God was working in a new way through his coming, through his birth, and through his life and his ministry, his healings, his teaching, and even through his death and ultimately resurrection. But once again, these two passages, and Mark arranges these in such a way to draw attention to two parallel events that involve Jesus' teaching, and it's related to children. The other thing I'll point out just about the structure of this, and it actually begins one chapter before in chapter 16, but in this section of Scripture, the four chapters, actually the five chapters, if you look at verse 16, three different times Jesus tells the disciples that he is about to go to Jerusalem, and there he will be handed over to the religious leaders, to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he will suffer and he will die. And once again, Matthew, in telling this story, he structures it in this way. It's a definite signpost that the story is changing and Jesus is preparing his disciples. So once again, in chapter 16, beginning in verse 24, Jesus talks about what he's going to do, and then also you'll see Jesus doing it again in chapter 17, verse 22, and finally in verse 20, beginning in, or chapter 20, beginning in verse 17. So there are these three predictions of what Jesus is going to be doing, going to Jerusalem and giving himself up. And interspersed in between these three predictions, we have these two events with the children. I want us to think about these again and think about what they call us to in the season of Lent, what they tell us about growing in our faith, and even what they tell us about dealing with the situation that we find ourselves in today. So the first one that Judy read was chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, where the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, it reminds us that disciples don't always get it. Sometimes we don't get it either. But here at this time in which Jesus is about to give up his life, to humble himself even to the point of death on a cross, the disciples are asking about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It says that Jesus called a child and put the child among them and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like this child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus gently and firmly is reminding the disciples about what they are to be about. And their interest in who's going to be the greatest is not what they are supposed to be about as disciples, and it's not what we're supposed to be about as disciples. Jesus demonstrated and taught a way of humility, looking to the needs of others. And as we'll see in a moment, that humility and what Jesus did for us, I think we can see in our scripture that it is rooted in compassion. Continually, we see that word in scripture and we hear Jesus using that word, compassion for those around him, compassion for those who are suffering, compassion for those who are weak or hurting, compassion for all of us in this life. God had compassion on God's creation and still does today. So Jesus told the disciples, "Unless you become like this child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." A child is someone who is physically not as strong as adults. A child is someone who does not have all the experience of life that adults might have. Children are vulnerable in a lot of ways. Children can also be much more loving at times than some of us adults. At times they can be much more forgiving, not always, but at times. They can be very trusting at times. And I think that Jesus was calling us to those good qualities of a child in our relationship with God and also in how we treat each other. Jesus was calling his disciples, and he calls us to a life of humility and care. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Jesus calls us to care for and to welcome the children. This was an unusual scene. Jesus was out in public at this time when a teacher was teaching his disciples or crowds. They would focus on the adults. The children were not invited into that process, and Jesus invited this child in and put this child on his knee. And Jesus says that whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me. And of course, we have to remember that in God's eyes, we are all children. In God's eyes, we who are adults are children. We compared, no matter what our experience has been, no matter what our jobs are, no matter what we've learned, in comparison to God's knowledge and love, we are all children. And it is a gift and a joy to receive that love. And we are called to share that with all the children of the world, the young children and the older children, to welcome one another in the name of Christ. And Christ says that when we do that, he counts that as love and care extended to him. If you flip over to chapter 19, beginning in verse 13. So this is a different scene, a different place, and once again, Jesus is talking about children. Says that the little children, so it's not one that he called over, but lots of children were coming. Once again, this is not something that adults would typically entertain at this time. And especially a religious leader. But of course, we know that Jesus was quite different than other religious leaders. It says that the children were being brought to him in order that he might lay hands on them and pray. And the disciples spoke sternly to those who brought them. So the children were coming, and once again, the disciples say, needed some more teaching. They were trying to prevent the children from coming and spoke sternly. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And he laid his hands on them and went on his way. It's to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs. So the kingdom of heaven, the church, is for everyone, even the little children. In the Methodist Church, we have the privilege, one of the things that we do is, remembering this, we welcome children into the life of the church. We welcome them to Holy Communion, and we involve them in every way. Not only do they learn, it's not just something where we teach them or provide programs for them. Our children serve as well. And they learn what it is to live as a follower of Christ in their homes and when they go to school and when they're out in the world. Jesus says, "Let the children come unto me and do not stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And that means, too, that we are called to be childlike in our faith. We are to learn to trust God and to depend upon God and obey God. We are to become like children. Now, it's been said before, and it is very true, we're not called to be childish, but we are called to be childlike in these qualities. In this time of challenge for us, as we're seeking to help ourselves and to help others by social distancing, I prefer to call it staying away from each other. That is such a strange word. I wish we could just say that in this time of staying away from each other. That's just kind of the way I think. A little less formal than some people. But in this time, I pray that we would have that childlike faith to know that we're not alone and that God is with us. God is with us in this life, and we know that God is with us because God sent Jesus into the world for us. Once again, next Sunday is when Jesus goes into Jerusalem, and we'll begin Holy Week next Sunday. We are planning on having a Good Friday service, and you'll be hearing more about that soon, but we'll have Good Friday online, and will be a very special time. But this is, once again, we remember that this is why Christ came, because God loves us and He has compassion for us. I mentioned that word compassion earlier, and one of the things in Matthew uses this word several times. Jesus uses this word. It's also present in the Old Testament as well. In fact, one of the times that Matthew uses this term in describing Jesus, Matthew is quoting from the Old Testament. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says that when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Once again, Matthew is describing what Jesus was doing, and he was using scripture from the Old Testament to say that Jesus was a good shepherd, and he had compassion on all the people, and especially those who were going through difficult times. They were harassed and helpless. They were going through trials, and sheep are unable to defend themselves. They are truly helpless. And in a sense, so are we. There are things that we can do, and we're grateful for the science, and we're grateful for the medicine, but the message of Lent reminds us that we are in God's hands, and we are dependent upon Him. And we are dependent on the love and grace of Christ, and there's nothing better that we could depend on than the love and grace of Christ. In Matthew 14, it says that when Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and He had compassion for them, and He cured their sick. In Matthew 15:32, it says that Jesus called His disciples and said, "I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have had nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, for they may faint upon the way." Jesus did the miracle of the multiplication of the bread and the fishes because He had compassion. Matthew 20, verse 34, at the end of our 4 chapters today, it ends with a healing that takes place of 2 blind men who called out to Jesus. And in Matthew's telling, it says, "Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they regained their sight and followed Him." May we receive the compassion of Jesus today and in the days ahead, And as we go to Holy Week and Good Friday, may we receive the compassion and comfort of Christ. And may we share, as followers of Christ, that same care and compassion with all those around us. May Christ truly be our good shepherd in these times. And may he walk with us daily. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your compassion. God, in this season in which there is less to do out in public, God, may we spend time in prayer and in Scripture. May we prepare for Good Friday and Easter. May we experience your compassion. And God, we thank you for all your people everywhere, for your church, for your Spirit that is at work in the world today, bringing healing into the lives of those who are struggling and suffering. God, we ask your healing for your children and for this broken world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.